Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
He's got one bride, and that one bride, according to Revelation 19, go to Revelation 19 now, and we'll come back to this. Go to Revelation 19 and about verse number 6. Let's pick up there. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is coming, and the wife hath made herself ready. How does she dress herself? Huh? Look at verse 8. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. She's not decked with gold. She doesn't wear all the jewels of compromise. She's not wearing the purple and the scarlet. She's not putting on this appealing, attractive, seductive form so that the world will like her. Jesus said the world never will like the church. There will always be enmity between the flesh and the spirit. There will always be conflict between the righteous and the unrighteous. That's why Jesus told the disciples, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. Well, don't you think if we just calmed a little bit of our apostolic way down, don't you think if we just you know, eased up just a little bit, didn't preach the cross so hard and strong, and if we didn't try to have conviction, and, you know, if we could just be a little more understanding and kind and gentle, and that's the biggest bunch of baloney. I know some of us like to eat baloney, but in this particular case, baloney's not good. Even if you fry it, it's not good. It's doctrinal baloney. People that start that junk, they want to make the church act like that we're a bunch of robotic, rigid, hard-nosed, hard-hearted people that don't love anybody. But see, love is not permissiveness. That's the harlotry system. Oh, do whatever you want. Well, come on in here and join. Bring your Buddhism in here if you want to. It's okay. We'll blend it right in. Bring your worship of many gods. Just bring it right on in here. We'll just kind of fit it right on in here. No, the Bible says we're fitly framed together in one message. The foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being himself the chief cornerstone, and we are made a building for God through the habitation of the Spirit, fitly framed together. That's because we all share the same experience. The Acts 2:38 spiritual experience of being born of water and of the Spirit. Amen? But in this abominable harlotry system, come on in here. It doesn't matter what you believe. We'll blend it right in here. You know, Hail Mary full of grace, and grab your rosary bead and we'll just pull it right on in here. No, we're not doing that. Not in the kingdom of God. But that's who, when you're decked with gold and looking like a harlot, a harlot becomes whatever she needs to be to get that man to look at her. But the bride ain't playing that game. She ain't trying to get the world to look at her. She's just interested in one looking at her. I got one groom. I got one husband. I got one that I'm engaged to. I've got one that I'm betrothed to. And his name is Jesus. And if you don't have nail scars in your hands, and you didn't bleed the atoning blood for my salvation, and you didn't bring me out of darkness into marvelous light, then don't bring your solicitous satanic message and sin tolerance gospel around here to me, because it ain't the gospel, it's another gospel. It ain't Jesus, it's another Jesus. So you notice that both mamas have a city. One has Jerusalem, one has Babylon. If you can trace your gospel only back to Babylon, to a Roman formula produced by the Catholic Church in the 300s, It's not valid. That's why we rebaptize people. And I understand this is something that we have to preach the black and white in. I'm not compromising. But I'm not going to judge either. I realize I may get to heaven and there may be folks that get to heaven I didn't think they would be there. But that's God's department. I am a witness on the stand. I have been asked to testify. What did you see? I saw Acts 2:38. I saw the way of the apostles in the book of Acts. I saw that there was no other salvation plan out of repentance, water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ, and to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. I'm not taking a chance on that. There is no neutral position. I'm not playing spiritual Switzerland here. I know in whom I have an alliance with, and his name is Jesus. So they both have a city. They both have a salvation plan, and they both have a source. The source of the harlot is the dragon. The dragon is Lucifer. His gospel comes right out of Genesis chapter 3. You don't have to pay attention to what God says. You can be your own gods. Because if you're your own God, you can come up with your own gospel. If you're in charge of yourself, do you know that's the real premise behind the satanic church? And what they're organized on, it's really not as much. I mean, there are segments of it, but it's really not as much based on the worship of Satan as it is the worship of self. Do what you want, go where you want, be whoever you want to be. You don't have to apologize for anything. You live like you want to. Babylon has a city. The harlot church has a city. Has their own form of salvation, and they have a different source. But who is our source? Now, you've heard me teach this, but there's always somebody that hasn't heard it. But notice that the beast kingdom, the harlot church, had 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the beast she rides on. That's the Antichrist kingdom. 7 heads. Wow. What a mutation. But that's what we're living in this end time miasma, if you will, this end-time soup or casserole that's got everything thrown in it, whatever you want to believe. You want to believe in absolutes? Go ahead. You don't want to believe in absolutes? You know, you make your own truth. But that doesn't work in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God doesn't have 7 heads. The kingdom of God's got 1 head. Ephesians 1 said that 1 head is Jesus Christ. That's our source. So we have a city that's Jerusalem. We have a salvation through the blood of the Lamb. And it is the only salvation. And we have a different source, because our source is the headship of Jesus Christ. The source of the harlot system is 7 heads and 10 horns. And isn't it something that, with all the conflict going on in the Middle East right now, it's this discussion among the G7 as to what ought to be done. Now, I don't know if they're necessarily the 7 heads, but it is a G7. And they're trying to determine together what ought to be done about this deal in the Middle East. You want to know what ought to be done? You ought to go to your Bible. Read your Bible, Mr. President. Read your Bible, United Nations. But see, the problem is you don't just read your Bible. You've allowed any and everything to come in to be a part of this beast system. So what ends up being excluded is the one message that says it is exclusive. We are the one gospel that says, no, you can't blend us with other religions. We don't get along with other religions. Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He said, I came to bring a sword. There's going to be division when you stand on the word of God. You will be divided as a sheep from the goat, rebels of the last days. Praise God. So Jerusalem is raising sheep and Babylon's raising goats. Isn't there something how that the satanic religion's got a goat right in the middle of it? They want you to believe in the power of the goat. It's not the greatest of all time either. It's the greatest of all tragedies. It's the greatest of all treacheries. And we could just keep going on and on with what that goat is. But I thank God for the lamb. the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Aren't you thankful that you've been to Jerusalem? Aren't you thankful on this Mother's Day that you went the spiritual mother's way? You know, one day you came in to the church and the Lord started drawing you, and it's like that old game. How many remember playing Mother May I? Mother, may I be forgiven? Yes, you can. Mother, may I be set free? Oh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The church said yes. Mother, may I be changed? You sure can. You don't have to stay the same where you are. Bless your heart. I thank God for the distinction of the truth from treachery. Think about this. You go back when Moses and Aaron stand before Pharaoh in the first confrontation when he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh is stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and it begins this whole back and forth, volleying back and forth. I'll let you go. No, I'm not going to let you go. And the 10 plagues that come upon Egypt. But it started with him throwing down the rod and it turning into a serpent. And, you know, Pharaoh just kind of snickered and called out Jannes and Jambres, these musicians, and they threw their rods down and they became snakes too. The problem is the rod of God swallowed up the treachery, because in the end, truth will always swallow up treachery. And if you just hold on, my friend, I know there's a lot of confusion, there are a lot of voices, and there are a lot of alternative routes, but if you'll stay on the path of righteousness for his name's sake, if you'll remain a disciple, durable to the end, because he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. If you'll just stay faithful to this God that you serve, when it's all said and done, it's Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives. It's Jesus ruling from a messianic, peaceful, thousand-year reign in Jerusalem. He's not going to Babylon, is he? Because the source and the city and the salvation started with the mother of us all in Jerusalem. This is why we have been seeing such global revival in some areas, third world countries, where hundreds of Trinitarian pastors are being converted, going back and baptizing their congregations in Jesus' name. There's so much of this happening in Africa, they can't even keep up with the number of it. It's happened kind of in a not so publicized manner, even in India, where some 40,000 from other church religions and denominations, they haven't become a part of the United Pentecostal Church, but a UPC preacher went in there being used of the Lord. And some 40,000 that have now converted and been baptized in Jesus' name over time. You know why? Because we're doing our best to get folks back to Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Praise God. The spiritual Eve. Why did Adam call his wife Eve? What was the depiction? Because she's the mother of all living. Praise God. You notice how this demonic agenda move toward the asexual, the transgenderism, also coincides with this, you know, this uniformity, this losing of the distinction of the sexes, because the devil has always been against the procreation. He's wanted mankind to be destroyed. So let's just have him destroy himself by coming up with these humanistic tendencies. Because if you take away the beauty of the male and female relationship that brings us sons and daughters, you create a unisexual world where there's telling no difference. And that goes right back to the original plan of the enemy. Let's kill the seed. Let's destroy mankind. Let's have mankind destroy itself. Praise God. And they're working in tandem. And I'm thankful for an apostolic revival remnant in this hour, that we go back to Jerusalem. All you mothers that are biological mothers today, thank God that you are spiritual examples of the spiritual mother of us all, Jerusalem. Because you base everything that you believe and everything that you do and how you behave, how you conduct yourself, goes back to the Word of God. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Although today, we will tell all of you, you're perfect. I want folks to be saved. They can't be saved in Babylon. They can't be saved at Mount Sinai. They have to go back to Jerusalem and the message that was preached at Jerusalem. And so Paul goes on in this thesis to the Gentile church at Galatia. And he says, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry. Thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband." Now, your perverted twisters of theology would take that scripture to say, well, see right there, the Lord's having something going on with somebody that's not married. And that's not what they read it in context. What he's saying here is the Gentile nations of the Old Testament didn't have God as their husband. The Jews did, and they committed adultery and had to constantly be brought back in to the purity of that relationship. And the Lord said very plain through the prophets of the Old Testament, I'm not giving you a bill of divorcement, because he saw restoration blood coming through the Lamb of God. But right here, Paul is saying, when the Jews rejected it, the Lord turned to Gentile nations, and he's bringing Gentile nations into the bride. They didn't have a husband, but they're going to have one now. And the revival that's going to come out of the Gentiles will be greater than anything that ever came out of the Jews. That's what this means. And Paul is a Jew, but he has a revelation of the Gentile revival that's been going on for 2,000 years. Praise God. So look at this. He said, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Who did he put into that company? Who did he include in that statement? Again, he's writing to predominantly Gentile believers, but he's calling them brothers, because he's already established in other places in the New Testament that when you are born of water and of the Spirit, you get your spiritual circumcision, you become a spiritual Jew. You're the spiritual seed of Abraham. Abraham is our father today just as much as he was David's father, as much as he was Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel's father. Abraham is my father today because I'm among the spiritual stars. I'm not the dust on the seashore, but I'm among the stars of heaven because it's a spiritual seed. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. And he said, now, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. There is an enmity. There's a hostility. Just like there's a hostility between Hamas and Israel, and the whole intent of Hamas to eradicate and destroy, and you see all this despicable protesting going on where they're using the phrase from the river of the sea, and what they're actually asking for is the genocide of the Jews, while at the same time narcissistically accusing Israel of committing genocide. But Israel's not the problem. Hamas is the problem. These poor Palestinian people that are caught in the middle, their only deliverance is in the hope of salvation. Praise God. I'm not against the soul of one Palestinian or one Arab. Jesus Christ shed his blood for every ethnicity and every religious orientation. He shed his blood for every soul. And so sometimes I get so aggravated at some of these things going on because I'm looking at one side, the need to fulfill a fleshly covenant, because God's going to do that with Abraham. And that's why Israel is going to have the blessing of God on it. But on the other hand, this gospel is for every tribe, kindred, and tongue. And Revelation 5 and both 7 chapters tell us that out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue are people coming washed in the blood of the Lamb. I was in a place last year that for all the years of missions and all the missionaries they've had and all the conferences they've had, we had the first Palestinian Arab in that region get the Holy Ghost. And since then, there's been a Palestinian revival Praise God. Sometimes we have to remove the label because when you remove label, Palestinian, Arab, Jew, what do you have left? A soul. And that soul is worth something to Jesus. Sometimes you hear us, you know, we talk Bible prophecy and we're going to stand by Israel. I think it's a shame that anybody would ever have any verbiage that wouldn't stand by Israel. Because understand, this is not a political philosophy. This is a religious extremism. Hamas, they do not want a peace treaty. They want the eradication of Israel. Because their religion will not allow them to dwell in peace with the Jews. They can only have peace in one form. And that is for all of that region to be a caliphate. Ruled by a religious Muslim imam. So if somewhere in this you even have had conflict here, separate yourself from political differences and labels and all of that and come back to a biblical understanding of what this is all about. And even Paul is telling us, there's really going to be no peace in this area. There will always be conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Praise God, praise God. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You can't have both religions. Can't serve two interpretations of God. It doesn't work. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Thank God for Jerusalem. Thank God for the foundation of the gospel that was laid in Jerusalem. And when you let this revelation keep hold of your heart, when you understand that the true redemptive plan came in an old rugged cross just outside of Jerusalem, Jesus is the only hope. And we've got to stand that ground. Got to stand that ground in the name of the Lord. I was just reading early today where it said something about over 40 to 50% of all transgenders have either contemplated suicide or attempted suicide. And they blame it on politics and their understanding of religious extremism because of a lack of acceptance. But let me there show you scripturally the difference between the transgenderism that gendereth itself to bondage and Sinai and Hagar and transformation that comes by the power of the blood through the church. Because ladies and gentlemen, the world is never really going to accept you either. But that's not supposed to make us blue and that's not supposed to make us sad. We're supposed to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. And so I believe that we have to have a revelation of the power of the blood that will hit every one of these in this culture that are being deceived by a tolerant sexual culture. And to say, you know what? Don't change your sexual orientation. Let God change your heart. Let God wash in his blood. And you will accept yourself in the kingdom for who you were born to be, rather than who you think the world tells you you ought to be. In Jesus' name. Thank God for Jerusalem. All of my praises, I surrender all for you. You came into my life as a living sacrifice, and that's why I owe all of my love to you. You are everything and this world to me. That's why I'm giving back to you. I give you all my
city of cost. I feel that giving you my life is the very least that I can do.
I give you my heart, my soul belongs to you, Jesus. You are the one, the only one who's worthy of all of my praises. I give you all my heart, my soul belongs to you, Jesus.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.